For those of you who do not know me, my name is Dan. I live in Saginaw. Much maligned Saginaw because we live north of Flint. In Saginaw, we can drink our water. It's okay. Most people do not realize, but the birthplace of Ethnos 360 is actually Saginaw. Now, there are many people, and I've been real concerned, I'm sure you have, about global warming. If you, no, you can raise your hand if you have. You should be, because it's in the Bible. I got on one of my tangents in a church last week and actually said the whole place is going to burn up anyway, which that would be global warming, right? It is a biblical thing. Amen? It's in 2 Peter. So what you could do, I've been thinking about this, what you could do when you're, because I'm sure you have some friend or enemy that believes in that. And they would tell you, I believe in global warming. I think you can sit there and say, you know, that's interesting because God told us about it. I think it'd be a good opportunity to witness. You know, God knew before AOC did. Really. And before all those other characters. Well, I got that off my chest now. I just think, you know, God, the scriptures say that God has them in derision. And if you look at our world today, man, it's really in derision. You're a man. How many of you believe in the doctrine of inspiration? That's a serious question. Because if you fail to believe in the doctrine of inspiration, you could be in real trouble. Because when God says it's going to burn up with fervent heat, it's going to burn. Because God said it. That's the doctrine of inspiration. Really, all your doctrines have to start from the doctrine of inspiration. One of the ones that we talk a little about, but not too much, is the doctrine of sanctification. Now, that's one of those words that we just say, in Sunday school, you're probably taught something like, well, it means to be holy. And if you're a little 10-year-old kid, a little 10-year-old kid's like, man, I know I'm not holy. I know my mom and dad's not holy. Because of the things they did, you know. And other things I'm doing, I'm not holy. But the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it doesn't exactly use this word sanctification, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it does say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new has all come. Now, if you work in missions, you're praying and you're trusting that inspiration is correct. If you're Pastor Brandon, he goes to work on Monday morning. Well, I don't know, maybe take Monday off, but go to work in there sometime. But even while you're maybe working or even taking that time off, one of the pastors here, they're all believing that inspiration is true because of this verse. Now, they could give you examples of people who they may know whose lives have changed. The ones who know you, I hope they can say something about you that, yes, I know Larry Fried. I know things about Larry that, yes, he's changed. I know things about Alan Cropsey. And I know changes. Now, if the pastors don't know them, their wives do. And that works the other side, that really the husbands know things about their wives that have changed. But in missions, we love to see changes in people who have never heard the gospel. That's one of the most exciting, and even for a pastor, I know, I've seen that. It's really exciting to see somebody who makes changes. Now, the difference, but it occasionally happens here, I'm sure Larry Smith, who has spent years in the jail ministry, could give us examples of people he's ministered to, and he's seen radical changes. Well, I want to tell you about a guy today who made radical changes. Let me see if we can get these pictures up. I only asked my wife, why doesn't that work? Oh, sure. But they go to plan B if that doesn't work. Volcano? A few years back, we were in the country of Papua New Guinea. Some of you have been to Papua New Guinea, correct? If you go to Papua New Guinea, one thing you will see, if you spend any time there, you're going to see volcanoes. In this case, we flew into a village of the Mangan people, and when we landed, it was pretty obvious there was a volcano because we flew pretty close to it. The pilot and how he flew to help you. You know, in New Guinea, they don't have Detroit Metro. Some people in America think that, you know, the missionaries have, you know, beautiful landing strips. You know, we had actually taken off from an old Japanese base and flew up into this mountain area. And we were talking to the pilot, and he assured us that we would be landing, but we would be landing uphill. Any of you ever landed uphill? No, when you landed uphill, you know what that means? You're going to take off downhill. Really, that's what that means. So we flew in, and our pilot said, we're going to start to land. And not being a pilot, I said, where's the land? There's no ground except way up there. He said, yeah, but we used the valley as the landing strip. You understand what I'm saying? You fly over, and there's this big chasm called a valley, and he's going to start landing out here to get over there. Well, we did very successfully. A couple days later, we very successfully went the other way, which means when you're going, see, if you're landing on that airstrip, if you crash, at least you'd be on land probably. But if you're going the other way and your plane conks out, your landing strip is the valley. But we didn't have that problem. We just zoomed up in there, and we were with the Mangan people, and we didn't know too much about them. Our missionaries had been working in there. And how do I say this? It's not a good thing to say, but missionaries don't always get along. Remember in Sunday school class I said that's real news. Missionaries don't always get along. That's not fake news. That's real news. And we had two missionary couples and two single ladies working in this group of people. These people were very poor. Kind of artistic, kind of. To get groceries, they walked 2 days, one downhill. To get groceries home, they walked, well, pardon me, 2 days and a half. To get groceries home, they walked 2 days and a half to take groceries home. Get the idea? It's a little remote, you know. It's not like you got here, you know. You can go up here at the store and be up there and back in 20 minutes probably. So it was volcanoes there, and I was concerned, will they explode while I'm there? And some of you are going to say, well, you don't have to worry about that. If I see a volcano close to me, I'm concerned. You know, it'd be like that hurricane. If I see a hurricane coming to Florida, I get concerned in Michigan. And you can say, it won't ever get to Michigan. I have seen hurricanes here in Michigan. Really. They may not be Category 5, but we get a lot of heavy wind here sometimes. This is the group of people we had with us. Some old, some young. Which tells us when you take a missions trip, everybody is important. Sometimes on a missions trip, there's romance. This one had romance. Deck pants girl get interested in guy squatted on the floor. Made it interesting because he's from Ireland and she was an MK out of Venezuela. And on the trip, I didn't really see them talking to each other that much, but they must have. Because later, within a year, they got married. So always realize that when you're working with young people, you may have some romance, and that's okay. They're both in the mission now. His biggest challenge of him coming into the mission was this. His father in Ireland owned an apple orchard. And he wanted to, his father wanted Jeff to inherit the apple orchard. And Jeff said, thanks, Dad, but I want to give my life to the Lord. And it doesn't include apples. Tough choice. Very tough choice. But he chose to give his life to the Lord. And he and young lady, Dargill, I believe, are still in either Ireland or New Guinea. This is a lady we got to meet. When we met her, she was not a believer. Her name is Anna, or Anna, however you want to pronounce that. And she took us down to her garden. Gardens, incorrectly said. It's gardens, meaning more than one. Her and her husband, they said, we're going to take you down to the gardens. Maybe they said garden. I don't remember what they said. They just said, we're taking you down there. And I just assumed it would be like walking over to the pastor's house. Most of you have your garden like no further than that, right? You don't have your gardens in St. John's. You have your gardens close. Well, after a 45-minute walk downhill, we came to the first garden. And my thought is, that means I got to go back uphill. But that was to see one garden. Are we going down there? Her husband graciously said, I'll show you the other gardens. Are we going there? No, you don't have to walk. Just look. And they pointed out five different gardens in different little places on the other valleys that they could see. And you can learn a lot about them by just this picture. Notice there's a fence around it. That's to keep out wild pigs and other animals that they don't want, but particularly pigs, because if you know anything about pigs, they can destroy your crops. It's one of the concerns, by the way, if you hunt. If you're in the state of Michigan, over closer to where I live, do they have any wild pigs on them? That's some real discussion occurring in this state. But in other countries, that is really a big problem. So this is how they solved it. And you notice she has all the farming implements that are modern. She has a pole. Doesn't have a garden tractor. Doesn't have a tiller from Walmart. She has simply a stick from the jungle that Joe kind of gave her, let her do the work. Joe's not going to do too much work. So Joe gave her a stick. It was not a stick like this. This is much better. He just went out in the jungle and cut a stick and said, here, Anna, you want to work in the garden here. Of course, advantage to that, you don't have to carry it with you. You just go out and get a stick every garden. You're going to have one in any of the five, you know. And if somebody wanted to help you could get one there too. And she plants food. I know Frank's eating some of that food because you ate not her food, but I know he's been over there. And then, Yeah, but what was some of the food did you eat?
They had some papaya that they had.
Papaya? Any of you ever had papaya? Not bad. Pretty good, right? Pretty cool. Okay. Anything else?
They had some other foods that I never heard of.
Yeah, you just ate them. You didn't. If you had known the name, it wouldn't make any difference. They just ate it, and you ate it. Oh, you didn't eat any grubs? No, didn't. Well, I've never been offered a grub. I've often wondered what I would do. I would maybe pass. Looked at one of my fellow missionaries and said, brother, I got a Bible verse for you. I prefer you above me, take it. Always have a Bible verse when you're going to do things like that. Pineapple. She had pineapple. Anything else she had there, dear? Cow-cow. You have that. You just don't call it cow-cow. It's really basically sweet potato. Different colors. They're not all pink. I mean, orange like you get. And they don't, no, you don't get it with brown sugar over and all that stuff you do at Thanksgiving. None of that stuff. It's just cow-cow. And probably baked into fire, you know. There's no oven, anything like it. Forget all that stuff, you know. It was interesting, their granddaughter. We met their granddaughter. I don't have a picture of her granddaughter, but her granddaughter was born with both ankles turned out. And she was about to that. She's about 5 or 6. She was at an age where it was really starting to affect how she played with children because she couldn't run to keep up with them. And you think of your little children growing up. If that had happened to your kid, I'm going to tell you, your kid would have been down at University of Michigan. Probably within weeks, already going through surgeries. And probably, as the kid grew up, it would be pretty normal. Their little granddaughter was born abnormal. I believe, last I heard, that has been repaired by doctors in Australia. I pray it's true. But Anna was not a believer. Jump one. There's old Joe. Now that I look at it, I think he sold me the worst one. I never noticed that until this moment. Sounds like Joe. Anyway, when we landed, Joe quickly told me he had made the shield for me that I wanted. And ordered. The problem was, I never ordered it. And after those of you who've had it, I wasn't sure I wanted it. But if you're a missionary over there, those of you who've been on trips and all that stuff, no, if they say they did this for you, you know, you're just kind of like, I'll buy it and I'll be done with it. You know, it's, no, I can't speak his language and argue with him over it, you know. So, okay. So finally, he told me he'd sell it to me. Or he wanted to, told me I had made it, so I had to kind of buy the thing. And so I think I paid an equivalent of something like $8 to $10. But the problem was, and I knew this when I bought it, and if you look at it now, there's some green and some black mold on it. It was green wood. And he cut it, carved it, and painted it. Now that means the mold is going to grow out. So I have black mold on my shield. But I was concerned, you know, okay, I can probably get that thing home. But I didn't. Any of you have some nice artifacts from tribes? I mean, I have some very nice ones. I have some things that were carved out of Panama. I mean, they're as good as anything ever made in the USA as far as looks. This is not something I put out for people to look at. I only use it for, you know, put it back in the office and tell stories about it. And so I learned that he had carved it for me. The missionaries brought the paint in for him. So he paid, I don't know, a couple bucks to paint the thing. But the thing that became surprising to me is how he painted it. See, when you tell paint something, I use brush, right? And the missionary said, ask him how he painted it. So I said, how'd you paint the thing? And he said, bush brush, bush brush, bush brush, bush brush. So I am assuming a cheap artist brush. You know, one of them little things, you know. And she could tell, Becky could tell I was not translating that very good. And she said, it's not what you're thinking. It's not one of them little artist brushes, Dan. That's what you're thinking. I want you to know that he stayed up all night after that paint was flown in with us, and he painted it with a broom straw. A broom, you know, the broom that you use to sweep your floor. And I looked at it, and I'm like, that's pretty good work. That's better than I could do. That's a lot of paint for a broom. I wouldn't even use a broom straw. I wouldn't even probably think to. That's a lot of paint for a broom straw. That was Joe. Joe was not a believer either. Joe wasn't. This is Otto. I got that shield at my house too. That's not bad. But when we were there, Otto was pretty neat because Otto could speak English. And if you're on a mission trip and you can find somebody speak English, you love them, you know. You're gonna, where's Otto? I want to talk to Otto, you know. Well, he's right over here. Okay, I'm going to see Otto, honey. I'm Bill, wherever Otto is, I'm going. So we were over talking to Otto, and his English was pretty good. He had worked on the mainland and decided to come back to his village because he wanted to be with his people. So we went on, and he could really talk good English. And so we discussed different things, and I asked Otto, because Otto also was a believer. He had gotten saved over on the mainland. Ran into some missionaries there, had gotten saved. So when you talked to him about spiritual things, he did understand that to some degree. And so, much to my custom, I would ask people when I go in, I find if they're believers, or do you think it's good to have missionaries come? Now, Pastor, I do not know what your budget is in missions, but I know it's a lot. It's a lot. I get into some churches that, very honestly, they should be ashamed of what they're giving. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I'm not going to name them. But I'll be honest, I sometimes use your church as an example of giving. Because you've not only given money, you've given people. Money's one thing, but giving people, that's something else. And that's something as a church you can praise the Lord for. So we ask Otto, was it worthwhile to send missionaries to Papua New Guinea and his people? And Otto said this, oh yes. Before the missionaries came, over here, they just worshiped a bunch of dead people. I was, when I grew up, I worshiped dead people. He said, they don't do you any good. But now since the missionaries come, I get to hear the missionary story, I became a believer over on the mainland. Now I'm over here. I can hear the missionaries here speaking, but he also is speaking in my language, so I can understand over here. It's not English or pidgin English, but I can hear it in Mangan because missionaries know that. I said, so you would say that's a good idea to have missionaries come. Oh, yeah. I said, what would you tell a person who said that was wasting money? Or dumb. I've had people tell me that. Don't. Why do you get involved in this stuff? Leave them the way they are. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that. Leave them the way they are. So I asked Otto. I figured he's over there. He's been living over here. He'll be the one to answer that question. He said, well, I would say anyone who ever said that was stupid. He would be just, they have to be stupid to even make such a statement like that because they've never lived over here. After the missionaries came, we heard the gospel, we got saved, and now they're giving the gospel to us in our language. But now, he says, that's great. I grew up never hearing that, but now I've heard it and I believe. That's pretty good. So you can tell your friends that. And they said, why do you go to Grove Bible Church? Some of the money just goes overseas anyway. You can tell them. But if you don't think it's good to think, I know a guy named Otto thinks that's stupid. If you think that way. Now here's the guy I want to talk about. To my knowledge, all the other ones are still alive. This guy's dead. Died, I believe, last May, if I'm correct. Pretty close to that. His name is Gerard. He is a Mangan. And as we talked to him, he could kind of, a little broken English, but we always had to have Becky tell us, ask questions, and she would translate for us. Becky and Carrie. And he said he was making me a walking stick. One he made me. No, I would not sell it to you for $1 million. So he made me, said he was going to make me this walking stick. So he made it, brought it over to me. And he and I sat there talking. I got to get Becky again, you know, we're talking. And so one thing you learn as missionaries, you learn that things may have more than one use. In our culture, it's the same way. Things may have more than one use. So you learn to ask questions. And so my question was, what's it for? And he looked at me and said, it's a walking stick. Any idiot would know that. He didn't say that. But I knew that. I knew it was walking because I knew the hills I'd been walking up. I needed a walking stick. If you don't have one, by the way, if you got an umbrella, that'll work too. I did that before. So I said, well, the logical question when you get that answer is, does it have another use? Did you use it for other things? Didn't want to talk about it, but he said yes. I said, what was it used for? He said, well, before the missionaries came, I would make walking sticks like that. And if you let your pigs get into my garden, I want revenge. I said, what are you going to do? He said, well, all this happened, made sure he wanted me to make sure I knew this all happened before he became a believer. Now, remember our verse back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You become a new creation. Now, your change to a new creation may not be as dramatic as his is, But you'd better have changed or you're not a believer. And I'm sure if you're not a believer, Pastor would love to sit down and visit with you today so you can become a believer. But if you're a believer, your life has changed as in the present process of continuing to change, because that is sanctification. Progressive. So he said, well, he said, what I would do if your pigs got loose, he said, I would watch and wait for you to walk down the trail. And he said, as you walk down the trail, I would sneak out behind you. And then I would get some ginger root dust. I'm going to take it and I would blow it on you. And he said, I believed that made me invisible to you. I said, then what you do? He said, then I'd walk up behind you and try to break your neck with my walking stick. But he said, I can't do that no more. I don't do that no more. I'm a believer. I heard the missionaries teach, and I believed what they taught. The interesting part is, the missionary teams weren't getting along when this was being taught. That's the thing that's most fascinating. No, it wasn't great unity among the missionaries, but that didn't stop the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was still working. God's Word was still being taught, although there was some disunity within the team. Well, George still heard. He still heard the gospel. And nobody ever sat down with Gerard at that point in time, before that, and said, could you tell us how you became a believer? They didn't even know he was a believer. Now, that's a good story. But that's not the end of the story. And I didn't know the end of the story until May, and that's what I want to tell you about today. Guess what Gerard's profession was? He's a witch doctor. Nobody told me this dude is a witch doctor when I'm over there. I don't know if the missionaries even knew. Do you know how a witch doctor does? He works with the demons. By the way, I bought the stick off of him. Probably got time to tell you this much. I asked him how much he wanted. And he said, 7 kina. How much is 7 kina, Frank? It's about $3.33. So no, I wouldn't sell you my stick that would cost me $3.33 for $1 million. No, because I had no story without the stick. But what made it interesting, when I asked him how much he wanted, and no, I'm not going to say that's too much. I'm going to ask him if he can make me some more. Because if I can get one for $3, I can get three for $10. But this is what he said, which I think is really neat. He said, before I became a believer, and you wanted to buy my stick, I would gouge you. I would gouge you. I would try to get as much from you as I could because I knew you wanted that stick. But I can't do that now because I'm a believer. Man. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You believe in inspiration? Inspiration back in 2 Timothy 3:16. God says he's going to change people dramatically. He does that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and has lived out in this guy's yard. Let's see. See if we got any more pictures. What did I do with my thing? Oh, bad place. The story is so good, don't worry about all that stuff. This is your brother. This guy's in heaven now. Oh, back to Joe. Not even in Joe's shield, now that I think about it. There he is with his wife. That's Gerard with his wife. She's a believer too. Leave the lever too. Oh, that's when he's practicing witch doctor stuff. When we were in missionary training years ago, 40, by the way, 40 years ago, last month, we've been in the mission. And one of the things they told us, that there was a tribe in California years ago, they were called the Yuroks, and the way the Yuroks would bring the witch doctor in, and the witch doctor had the ability to suck out pain. Many tribes still believe that and practice that. But old Gerard, he's got some kind of thing now he's going to smoke them. But guess what? He don't believe that now. Because he's saved. When you get saved, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Why would a young person from Clinton County, because most of yours came from Clinton County, why would a young person from Clinton County give their life to go to the unreached people of the earth? Why would they do that? Why would you take your money? When they pass the offering, or you stick it in an envelope, or you do it by mail, or maybe even by bank now, why would you do that? At the end of the month, you don't get a receipt that says, okay, you get a couple extra good things in heaven. You don't get that. I'm going to tell you why you do it. Because you believe in inspiration. You believe that it's God's will, as he says in Scripture, not any should perish. And you know, for that to happen, it's going to take people, it's going to take money. Now, you may have not sat and figured it all out, but I'm telling you, that's what you're doing. Because you believe that book is God's word, and God commands us to go. God actually commands us to help our brothers and sisters go. So when you have a young person in this church who says, Mom, Dad, I really believe God wants me to give my life to mission. I would ask you to look at it as a privilege and a high honor. You say, why should I do that? Because that's what God did. Did not our God, Jehovah, offer his son for our sacrifice? If it's good enough for God, it certainly should be good enough for us. Heavenly Father, well, man, we thank you for people like Gerard. I thank you for Becky and Carrie and the other missionaries that are now working with these folks, Father. And now they have the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. One slide. I think it's the next one. Oh, he's getting baptized. That's what's there now. Start it with nothing. Bunch of witch doctors, and they didn't know they had the witch doctors. But now they got a church. Man, the churches you could talk about, the ones that you've had influence on. Okay, Pastor, it's all yours.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Kathy, for being here with us today. Sitting there, you know, we've prayed as a church that God would send forth laborers into his harvest, and one of my prayers is that God would continue to raise up people from among us to go into the unreached places of the world. And maybe this morning the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and you would say, I'm open to that if God leads. Or maybe God is leading to say, I want you to go. And if you're like that this morning, what I'd ask you to do is talk to me after the service or email me or call me, because what I want to do is pray with you about that, and love to talk with you about that and just see what God has in store for you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for your Spirit that changes us. And oh God, we need change. We can't change ourselves. It must be something your Spirit does in us, God. And I thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus. I thank you for the good news that every person needs to hear about salvation, God. And God, I pray that you continue to work among us, Lord. I know that for the cause of missions, we can do more. We can honor you in deeper ways, God. And I pray that you continue to raise up laborers for your harvest, God. God, I pray that your Spirit would even be working in our hearts even now as from what we've heard, God. Oh, God, I thank you for those who have gone out from Grove. God, I thank you for those who are ministering on the fields even now, God. And we think of Brad and Amber right now, Lord, as they've just returned to Vanuatu, God. We pray that you'd encourage them back in this transition time. God, use them. Lord, I pray that as they teach your word and continue in that, God, you'd raise up believers. You'd raise up a church there. God, I do thank you for the believers that have already put their faith in Christ in Vanuatu, and I pray that you'd continue to just strengthen them in their faith. Lord, we thank you for the Currys, Lord, and Lord, you know the difficulty that they've gone through recently, Lord, and we want to lift them before you even now, God, that your Spirit would encourage them, Lord, they'd sense your presence with them, Lord, God, that there would be a church raised among the Dem people that worship you, and God, that they'd be there in heaven, representatives of the Dem tribe, Lord, through the ministry of the Currys and their partners among them, God. We lift up the Claps in Palau, God, and ask that you would continue to work in their hearts, God, encouraging the Claps, providing for them in every way, Lord, building your church there. God, for Pete and Carly in Colombia, Lord, we lift them up before you. God, we call out and ask, Lord, that you would help them in this transition, Lord, as they're learning the language, as they're learning the culture, Lord, that you'd continue to guide them to just the very people group that you've prepared for them, Lord, we ask. Lord, there are others, and you know, but God, you've laid those specifically on my heart this morning. So, God, we lift that to you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you here this morning together. I pray for your blessing on those who are here as we go, God, for your grace for them to meet every trial, Lord. And God, I just want to thank you for who you are again. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite you back tonight again for Preston and Stephanie's presentation. The Lord's leading them to Indonesia. May God bless you.